is a wonderful, wonderful Christmas song that we sing. But it's pulled out of centuries past by the monks who turned it into a chant from the scriptures and the promise that we're going to read this morning, and then turned into not just the hope that they had 400 years prior to Jesus Christ's birth, but the hope that we still have today in that birth and His soon second coming. I have for you a video. It's a little bit new. We had no drums here this morning. Miss Tiffany, China as I like to call her, is down in Florida. Pray for her as she travels back, but she is our percussionist. This morning, I have for you O Come, O Come, Emmanuel by King and Country, if you would please.
Christmas, Phoenix.
Merry Christmas, Royal Ridge. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. I chose that intentionally. There are so many men's choirs and folks, bands, worship teams that do that song. But I chose that one intentionally. I believe you could see the worship in the hearts of those men as they beat on those drums and play those trumpets. Isaiah wrote the words that they were singing while in captivity in Babylon. And sometimes I wonder if they just didn't worship God like that around the river. They just had the simple instruments, but they worshiped in a mighty way. And so this Christmas season, in whatever simple way you can, worship God in a mighty way. Will you stand with me for the reading of the Word of God? I'm going to read to you from Matthew, the first chapter. It's starting at the 18th verse. Matthew, first chapter, starting at the 18th verse, and the Word of God says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.' So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, 'Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel,' which is translated 'God with us.' Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." Precious Heavenly Father, we just thank you this morning, Lord God. Lord, I thank you that this earthen vessel that you have filled and breathed life into, Lord God, sanctified and filled with your Holy Spirit, Lord God, Lord, would be used one more time today to speak to each and every ear that would hear today. Lord, let it not bounce within their brain, but let it sink into their heart, Lord God. Let it there, Lord God, ever be hidden, Lord, that would come forth by the Lion of Judah that resides in their heart, in their moment in time of need, that you would be able to become Emmanuel, God with us, to each and every one in that moment that the King appears. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. Verse 22 tells us, "A virgin shall be with child and will bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. O come, Emmanuel." This ancient hymn captures some interesting items of discussion and really interesting items of discovery during this Christmas season if we are to look at it a little bit closer. It's a Latin hymn of the 12th century. I know some of us are a little bit hymn illiterate. We like our contemporary worship music. But I believe in some of the hymns that are written of old. They teach our doctrine and our understanding, and they have a great worship to them. And so today I just want to share this one a little bit with you. Emmanuel, God with us, become the hope. We desire for this to become the hope the heart cry, the help of the people of Israel, and even you and I still today, those that have been engrafted in to the nation of Israel. John Neal, when he first translated this ancient chant in the 1800s, he was hoping that it would take the hearers back 600 years previous to when the prophet Isaiah was penning these words. The prophecy of the coming of the Messiah. 600 years before Christ was ever born in Bethlehem, Isaiah is writing these prophetic words. And I believe that they are fast-forwarded and carried not only into the days of John Neal, but also into our day today. They are here for us today. They are alive, living, and they have not died, but they bring life to each and every one. Israel at this time in history is in captivity when Isaiah pens these letters. He is caught and brought into Babylon and is in captivity. He's earnestly waiting for the coming of the king. They want and need a deliverer. And they are praying for this deliverer to come, the Messiah. I believe there were questions in their hearts then, and there's questions in our hearts today. Will God show up? When will God show up? How will God show up? And I think today we've seen Him show up in a strong way already here this morning, working in the lives of people and individuals collectively, individually. God is in the house. God lives in the hearts of the people. And the hearts of the people back in Isaiah's day were crying for the Messiah to come. So today, let not our hearts question when or how, but let it rejoice in the knowledge that He will. And He already has in many ways. And so let's take a look at really what Isaiah was talking about. Isaiah 7 and 14 says this. The Lord Himself shall give you a sign. The virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call His name Emmanuel. But Isaiah didn't stop there. We're reminded and Isaiah foretold that this Emmanuel, Jesus, was a wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, and Prince of Peace. He told us who He was and who He would be in our lives. Years before Christ's birth, ransomed captive Israel is praying and asking, wondering and waiting, when will the Messiah come? Ransom captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here until the Son of God appears. I think about the words ransom captive. If you get caught up on the Israel, then please be engrafted in and know you are a part of that. But it's the ransom captive that is describing those people. And we are a part of those people. And some of us are ransomed and we're captive in that. We need to understand a little bit. Matthew declares a virgin shall be with child and will bear a son, and they shall call him Emmanuel. Paul proclaims in Galatians 4:4-5, and I would proclaim with you today, but when the fullness of time came, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that they might receive the adoption of sons. Can I get an hallelujah, an amen in the house of the Lord this morning? Because we are adopted, we are sons and daughters to Emmanuel. I was speaking to some of the men this morning, Rev Kepi, Rev Spike, Pastor Matt. And I was telling them, Lord's laying it on my heart. I think we're going to start doing some video moments. Just a minute that we can put up on social medias, put up on the big screen of words of encouragement. Get a team together of people that really believe in the vision and the mission that we have, the restoration and the releasing that God has brought us to. And let them give out a royal moment with the King of Kings. Just a minute to speak. Because we're all sons and daughters of the King. We've all been adopted in. We've been anxiously awaiting for this. Collectively as a people, if not individually as a person, we've anxiously been awaiting for this adoption, and we are ransomed captive now in that adoption. We are held by a God, and He will not let us go. This is worthy of our rejoicing. We can walk away from Him, but He will not release us on His own. But He will respect us walking away. You are ransomed and you are captive to Him. I am an ambassador in bonds to chains to Jesus Christ, Paul said. And I would say the same to you about my life. I am caught up and held fast to Him, unable to be broken away. It's interesting that God became man and lived amongst us, that we might become the sons of God and live with Him. We are but lonely exiles here, they say in this chant, who are in need of being freed, for we are ransomed captive in another way. They were carried off into captivity. And the only way they could be freed was for a ransom to be paid. And we are carried off in this world, captive to the sins of this world, captive to the worries of this world, captive to the clock and the time of this world, captive to the money and the bank accounts and the ones and zeros on data lines that show those bank accounts. We are captive to so many things. We are ransomed into that, and it holds us. We cannot serve two gods. Either we serve God or we serve what we're ransomed and captive to. But Jesus Christ came to set us free. He came to live among us that we might go and live amongst Him as the sons and daughters of God. It is a lonely exile here. I'm not going to kid you, and I don't want to act like you don't understand that sometimes being a Christian in our culture today is difficult at best. It's demanding often. And sometimes it is downright almost impossible when the hordes of hell start to come against the saints of heaven. I understand this. But I also understand, though it may be a lonely exile here, I am a sojourner in this world. This is not my home. Heaven is my home. And I am going to be there, ransomed captive with Him for all of eternity. My hope is not in what this world can do for me. My hope lies in what Jesus Christ has already done for me. Can we give the Lord a hand clap of praise? This ransomed captive, just like Israel, it held by the comfort. It's held by the concerns. It's held by the causes of this world. We cannot be held ransom captive to this world unless we allow it ourselves to be so. We can overcome sin in a moment. We can overcome our worries in a moment. We can overcome all the concerns of this world in a moment. if we'll just let Jesus Christ ransom captive us. This chant goes on to say, O come thou Lord of might, who to thy tribes on Sion's height in ancient times did give the law in cloud and majesty and awe. Who to thy tribes? Anyone here a child of God? I'm a child of God. We are a part of those tribes. I don't know which tribe you fit into, but I know there's enough of them for you to fit into one of them. And each one had their reason for existing. Each one had a gift and a specialty. A Benjamite could split the hair at 100 yards off a man's head with a sling and a stone. It's a gift. Levites were worshipers, priests in the temples. Judah. They praised God. They worshipped Him. They were musically gifted and inclined. I don't know what your gift is, but I know that there's room in the tribes for you. And so, we all need to understand this child of God includes us. If we've been engrafted into the nation of Israel and are full partakers of His promise, then we are now sons and daughters of a living God, Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. And when God brought the nation of Israel out of bondage, He brought us out of bondage too. We are no longer caught up in that sin of the past. We have been sanctified. We have been filled with His Spirit. Hopefully we have been baptized with Holy Ghost and fire. Living a holy life for Him. And He gave us His law. His way of living. It's interesting because I could just rest right here, get onto a big soapbox and tell you all about the law. I did something fun yesterday. My wife was gone all day to Boston. My son was back in his room working on the keyboard, actually, for the church, fixing it. The one that was in the back closet, I think we got her fixed. Getting a new key for $10, we'll fix it. So I had some time to myself. So you know what I did? I got on Facebook and I connected up with an old, you know, person from the Navy who was a chaplain. And he said, Doug, look at this article. And I said, really? And it was like an article from a guy who was a doctor, a sociologist, historian, secular, not saved, and certainly all that. But he did some research out of the 60s when he grew up. And in the 70s and 80s and 90s, he looked at some things. And what he did was, yeah, I read this article. It was about 15 pages. But it was really great. And it was all that intellectual academia stuff that, you know. And in it, he was showing through the course of the history of the world, as far as we know, cultures, societies, the ones that have succeeded, why? The ones that have failed, how? And he looked at over 200 cultures over the history of the whole world that he could document and see. And as a sociologist and as somebody who does those kinds of things and a psychologist, he was able to look at a lot of things. He keyed it down to one thing, sexual revolutions. Every time a culture had a sexual revolution, it took three generations, he identified, in order for that culture to go one way or the other, depending as to how they came out of that sexual revolution. In the 60s, we had a sexual revolution in America. We are now entering the third generation since that sexual revolution. Everything he wrote in the 70s and 80s about that is absolutely accurate and true if you look at our culture today. The spiritual decline, the promiscuity, the other things that come in, the falling from within. It's all nailed out. It's all laid out. It's all right there. 15 pages of a simple document right here. Read this. And my heart breaks. Because God, it doesn't need to be so. You can change that in a moment. If the king would just come, Emmanuel, God with us, change that in a moment, oh God. He only identified three cultures that survived it. But he identified America as going through it when he wrote it. And now people would tell us that depression and suicides are increasing, part of what he identified. People are telling us that sexuality is rampant. And we see that happening. We hear that drugs and alcohol are affecting not just individuals, but families and communities. And we see that happening. He identified every bit of what's happening in our society. He even spoke to the political system breaking down, because one would be for what's good and one would be for what's evil. And I dare to say, we see that happening. When God came out of Israel, he took them out of bondage. And when God took us out of this world, he took us out of bondage to it. And he gave us his law. And his law is a wonderful thing. It shows us our need for salvation. But it shows us a way to live as a society and a culture. We need to not rely upon our own understanding, but the understanding of God Almighty. God's promise to change our lives, to change our thinking, to change the very presence of death upon us and bring a newness of life to us. And he does this all through his law, which delivers us from bondage and sin and helps us to walk in holiness and sanctification. When we look heavenward for our living, when we look heavenward for our insight, when we look heavenward for our understanding, for wisdom, he will reveal himself to us with majesty and awe. And the whole world will watch and wonder. Thy tribes on Sinai's height in ancient times did give the law in cloud and majesty and awe. We are set free from Satan's tyranny through the rod of Jesse, Emmanuel. He was snatched from the depths of hell, and we have victory over the grave. This day spring that they speak about in this Christmas song we so easily sing as we mull through our days actually have the ability to allow joy to rejoice in your heart and for light to spring forth. That is that day spring. It drives away the night. It drives away the darkness. It pierces the clouds and brings in the light. The day spring is the bringer of light. There is a dawning upon the soul that pierces the clouds and pierces our way of thinking. It pierces through our hardened hearts and it brings us to this marvelous might and this marvelous light that he has for us. I believe that today there is a day spring waiting to come forth from you, from your life. And when it springs forth, understand, please understand, it springs onto. It springs into. It springs over to your friends, your relatives, your associates, and your neighbors. Your loved ones, all those around you, they see the light. Darkness cannot overcome light. Light will always overcome darkness. And when the day springs from you, you transfer that love, that light. How marvelous is that? To that other, right there. It pierces the clouds of this world and brings a marvelous light. A light to show the way. A light to comfort the way. A light to guide the way. Question is, today, will you come to that light? Will you let that daylight shine through you? He came so that he could. But he needs you so that he can. Fill your heart that it might fill the hearts of Fran. Isaiah the prophet, he pens this prophecy, Isaiah 22 and 22 actually says this. Remember, he's in captivity penning this, and he says, the key of the house of David I will lay on his shoulder. Then he shall open and no one shall shut, and he shall shut and no one shall open. He's talking about the government upon the Messiah's shoulder. The key of it will be upon his shoulder. And no man will open and no man will shut, and God Almighty will open and God Almighty will shut. They needed a deliverer, someone to govern them. Emmanuel, God with us, he promises to open wide the heavenly gates, and there the light shall be the light of Jesus Christ. And he shall be King of kings, Lord of lords, and rule, and the throne of David shall remain forever with the king upon it. Emmanuel, God with us. He swings those gates wide open today. The gates of your hearts may have been held back, locked up, seized because of rust and old age, maybe worn and broken, maybe beaten and battered upon. But he desires to swing them wide today. Isaiah prophesied this coming of the Messiah 600 years prior to his birth in Bethlehem. His people were still in captivity. John the Revelator actually echoes that prophetic utterance in Revelations 3 and 7 when he says, he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts and shuts and no one opens. He's making a proclamation, talking in that moment on that day with the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He shall reign forever. And I think this Christmas season, O come, Emmanuel, speaks more to the second coming of Jesus Christ than any other part of our doctrine, part of our faith, part of our belief, and part of our greatest need. O come, Emmanuel. We need you, O God. Our hearts hurt. They yearn for you, Lord Jesus. Relationships are hurting, Lord God. And Lord, the society, the culture is hurting. Sin is rampant, oh God. It's like the days of Noah. Everywhere men do what is unrighteous. They call what is evil good and what is good evil, oh God. Deliver us, Messiah, Jesus, Emmanuel, God, with us today. Oh, come, Emmanuel. Let us heed the second coming. Let us proclaim that second coming. If we can give any of our friends, relatives, associates, or neighbors, any good news, it's that Christ is coming. Christ is coming. And he is coming soon. He's coming to capture his bride, redeem the world he created, and make all things new. Paul said, oh, I don't know what I shall be like on that day, but I know that I shall be like him. Oh, I'm going to be made new. There's going to be no more pain, no more suffering. There'll be no more tears. There'll just be worshiping him. he'll take that key, put it right there on his shoulder, and he'll say, no, 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 righteousness is going to rule the day. For when we live in righteousness, we live in the favor of God, and the blessings of God follow. His laws are not grievous, that we could not follow them, but they are joyful to those who believe. And we follow them, not because they bring us a blessing, but because we love him. And he blesses us because we're his sons and daughters. And his government and his rule will be with righteousness. I believe that on that day, we're going to be worshiping when the eastern sky is split and our heaven descends like he ascended, when our Lord descends on that cloud. All of my heart just wants to believe that all of a sudden, the whole nation of Israel that was in captivity and all of those that have received Christ, first the dead will be raised up, but then those of us who yet remain will be captured and caught up. And I believe that we're going to be saying, oh come, Emmanuel, God with us today. Hallelujah. That will be a day of great rejoicing. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. That will be the day. Oh, what a day that will be when my Lord and I shall see. Oh, what a day that will be. Can I have the musicians up here this morning? Will you stand with me in the sanctuary? We're getting ready to close this service, but I really want us to come to this altar. There, we're going to leave this sanctuary, and we call it sanctuary for a reason, because it's safe here. A criminal can run into a church and find sanctuary, not a room, but safety. People go to a safe place and call it sanctuary. We just call this right here sanctuary. It's safe. This altar is safe for you to come to. It is where God ministers to hearts. It's where he mends those hearts. It's where he does a work that will last eternity. It will not wear out. It will not become old. It will not somehow fizzle away. It will last through all of your days and into eternity when God does it. And you'll be able to rejoice. Rejoice. Oh, Emmanuel. So today, before you go out there and you hit the Christmas onslaught, the commercialization of our Savior's birth, because it's a hard thing. I don't like Walmart outside of Christmas. I like it even less during Christmas. But it's not just Walmart. I don't care where you go. They're commercializing my Lord. Let's commercialize what they're doing. Everywhere we go, oh come, Emmanuel. Ransom captive, O Israel. Today, Lord, touch your saints. If you are heading back out those doors, then you need this altar here this morning. That's my firm belief, because we can't make it hardly through a moment a day without calling upon God. Sometimes we can't make it through the next hour or the next few minutes without calling upon Christ. And this chant would teach us one thing. To say, oh come, Emmanuel, God be with us here, now, before we go out there and then pour it out there. Will you come this morning? Will you come to this altar and cry out, oh come, Emmanuel with us. Come.